Praise the Lord. Glory to Jesus. We continue with our subject today of baptism in or with the Holy Spirit and the life that we have when the Holy Spirit is in us. And the Bible text is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. It says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Amen. Glory to God. God, we have to get clear and understand what this verse means. Glory to God. We have to understand the wisdom of God is in the church, and we have to declare this wisdom to the principalities and powers, that means to the evil powers. I never forget the man who said to me, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in God. Many people, they don't, or many do not know what is a Christian. They think everything is all right with them when it is not. I know many who claim to be Christian. They believe they will go to heaven, but they never do anything to get there. It's like someone says, I'm going to America, but they never save the money to go there, and they don't bother about the visa. Even when they reach the customs in America, they will not be let in, because they have no visa. In the same way, many will stand at the door to heaven, but they can't enter because they have not done their duty. In Ephesians 3, we read about Paul's mission to the Gentiles, those who were not Jews. He was made a minister by the effectual working of God's power. He completed an effectual work. He said of himself in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. We need the wisdom of God. This can only be revealed through the Holy Spirit in the person where God is in control. If you want the vision, you have to surrender completely to Him, because otherwise you cannot get the vision. So let the Holy Spirit have His way in your life. Understand, you cannot do anything by yourself. Therefore, give yourself completely to the manifold wisdom of God. Ephesians 5:12 says, "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him." In Him, we have boldness and access with confidence through Him. Boldness brings us to a place of access with confidence. We can take hold of the things that we have asked of. The Holy Spirit in us is unfolding the mystery, what we might know and have the revelation according to the will of God. So that in your life, the mighty power of God can be revealed, the flesh must be brought to a place of non-existence. When your flesh doesn't exist anymore, you can receive the mighty power of God. And secondly, you have to pray. Jude chapter 1, verse 20 says, "But you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith, pray in the Holy Spirit." Pray in the Holy Spirit. Build up your faith. Build up your faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. There is a need for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, there is no personal thought in it, no point upon which you can rest your mind. That which is predicted from the throne of glory of God, and all divine attributes are displayed by the glory of God, to the glory of God. You are His workmanship, created for His glory. God cannot display the greater glory except through those who are equal to this glory. The Holy Spirit brings out the very essence of heaven through our spirit. Paul said, "He was led by the Spirit." May this be the case for us. And we can say, "I am led by the Spirit. Whatever I do, I am led by the Spirit." Praise God. He was willing, Paul was willing, for all things, bound by the Spirit. Willing to give everything, only be bound by the Spirit. It's wonderful to be so connected with the Holy Spirit. We can only pray as the Holy Spirit gives us utterance. The Holy Spirit is teaching us what to pray and teaches us how to pray. He gave us the highest principles through this prayer that the purposes of salvation are a continuous working and an increasing power. As we pray in the Spirit, we are looking forward into the appearance of Jesus Christ. As it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a loud, with a shout, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are still alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we shall always be with the Lord." That is glory, to be with the Lord. So what is the glory? All the glory is coming from Him. You are glorious in the measure that you have the Son of glory in you. If you are filled with Jesus Christ, the glory is within you. When we have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, there is nothing to hinder the Holy Spirit having control of the whole body. Ephesians 3:17 says that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith. Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Faith is producing all things. The Holy Spirit is indwelling and enlarging onto the whole body, filled with Jesus Christ. Did the Holy Spirit ever utter a prayer that no power can answer? He wouldn't. Jesus prayed for us in John 17:21, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. Praise God. You cannot be in him without any effect. He is a perfect love. And that perfect love will fill our lives. Oh, God is only valuable. Gold is only valuable when the dirt is removed. But you cannot remove it with your hands. There's no cleaning material that can remove it. It has to go through fire. It has to go through fire. It has to be melted. It has to be formed. Only then can you be rooted and grounded by Jesus, by the Word of God. So you have to go through that fire to burn off all the dust and all the dirt, so that you can be filled with the Word of God. I am a production of what God is for me, and I can stay at the gates of hell and I can laugh. Rooted and grounded in love. My friends may leave me, but if I'm grounded, it is for good, and nothing can be against me, only myself. So we live for the glory of God. The Lord establishes and strengthens and upholds us, making us strong. That which is weak, if we are weak, he makes us strong, enabling us to stand in the difficulty and on the day of battle. God is with us for exceeding above all you can ask or imagine. We are not children of circumstances. We are children of faith. In the natural, we may be troubled by the blowing wind as it whispers fearfulness. But if you are rooted and grounded in love, you can stand the test. Only then you can prove that you know and love Christ. Only then you can say with Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18 and 19, you may be able to comprehend that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Filled with all the fullness of God. God is in the depths. And God is in the heights. He is everywhere. And he's always lifting us. As it says in verse 20, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us. There is nothing that he cannot do. Nothing. He can do all things. Filled with the fullness of God. Filled with the fullness of God. In the natural, when you are filled with something, it enlarges you. But the fullness of the Spirit is a power of God in your spirit. The power of God in your spirit. Every part of you is enlarged. Every part. To make you full. You are as full as your faith permits. Filled unto all the fullness of God. The power of the Lord was present to heal. That fullness was pressed out of those believers, of those apostles. It was pressed out onto others. Or you can say, the fullness overspilled and went into them, and the healing took place. In Acts we read of how Jesus was ascending in heaven. He was in the presence of God before. Jesus was manifest in the flesh, the power of God in human form. The fullness of the Godhead was bodily manifolded in Jesus. John said, he was the light of life. The light of life. He was the fullness of glory. This is available to us if we want, and if we have faith. You cannot comprehend the glory of God. You need His power to be able to contain that glory. This glory is not for your own glory, for your own your own name and fame. This glory is to the glory of God. It's possible because He puts it into your heart. It will enlarge and lift you all the time. Not sometimes, but always, continuously. He's lifting you. Holiness is the purpose of your heart. Is this plan according to the power that works in you? Whatever you are at any time, is to be the effectual power lifting and controlling, carrying you to constant rest and peace. It's according to the power that works in you. Ephesians 3, verse 21 says, in Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. To Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Paul mentioned the church because the church is a body of Christ with Him as a head. Glory in the church, in all believers. This glory should be in each one of us. We have to shine for His glory. It's not just coming by itself. If you are not attending the church, how can you get the glory? If you are not seeking God, how can you get the glory? It's impossible. Nothing glorifies God so much as simple trust in what the Word of God says. Jesus said, my Father is always at work, and I too am at work. He saw how the Father worked. It was grounded on knowledge, which is faith based on knowledge. In the Bible, we have many promises. I can only take hold of them without any struggle. Or when I have a struggle, I can take hold of them. Because he that asks will receive. And he that seeks will find. And he that knocks, to him shall be opened. Jesus Christ lived to manifest God's glory in the church. That to show that what God was like, and so that many would be brought into this glory. He revealed faith. The living God has chosen us out of the world. We are not of this world. We are of him. So the power that is not of us, it's of God. It's the power of God in us. I've told you many times that Jesus Christ is coming back soon again. Before his physical reign in Jerusalem, we shall be raptured. The church shall be raptured. We are going up to meet the Lord in the air. That means the church shall be filled, lifted up, suddenly, in an instant. It says in the Bible, it says, in a twinkling of an eye, we are going to be with the Lord forever. What happens after the rapture? And who will be left here? Those who are not ready, those who are not obeying the commands, will not be lifted up. Those who didn't bring glory to God. That includes many who call themselves Christians. It will be terrible to be left behind. I would like to think of how awful it would suddenly be if suddenly all the believers are gone and I'm left here. What a shock. And you understand that what they said was true. During the 7 years of tribulation, it's still possible to receive, become a Christian. But the Christians will be persecuted terribly, and many of them will be killed. When you listen to what the people say at the WEF, the WEF, or at the UN, or the WHO, what they are saying, then you know what is going to come. Globalists want population control. But who decides who shall live and who shall die? At the recent WEF, they declare that a new pandemic called X would come and it would kill many people. They even prepared a vaccine. It's stupid. How can you prepare a vaccine if you don't know the bacteria? So they know. Already. They know what. It's already produced. They just wait for the right time to release it into the air. It's stupid, but that is what is happening. And it will happen straight after the rapture, not before. And there will be wars. There are many troubled places in the world where wars could start immediately. There will be famines, and they are trying to create a famine. It's artificial famine by not producing any crops, by killing all the animals, so there will be no more food and people will starve and die. There will be natural catastrophes and many other things that are happening. This and more will happen after the rapture. So bad that Jesus said If the time was not shortened, no flesh would survive. Now, would you like to be healed? I don't. I prefer to be raptured and be in heaven. Therefore, we have to forget our flesh until it stops existing. We should be so full of the Holy Spirit that nothing else in this world is important to us anymore. During the tribulation, the state shall confiscate whatever you own. If you own a house, if you own a lot of money, the state will take it. Like they did in the Soviet Union. The same thing will come again. So don't love the world, but love God. Be wise and pray. Expect the glory and have faith. Extend the glory and have faith. Turn in, trust in the Holy Spirit's presence who lives in you. As Jesus said, the Father is in me and I am in him, and together we are in you. Jesus is our hope of glory. Thank you.